and we're at the continuity of scripture class Sunday morning. We are wrapping up. This is part one of the wrap-up. Jesus, our great high priest, the Holy Spirit, our comforter. We're on week 20. The Spirit searches the deep things of God, June 9th, 2024. And Stephen, we know we talked about him last week. He was a server of tables in the first century church. And he gave testimony to Jewish brethren. I say brethren because they were Jewish brethren in nationality and the ethnic people group that Jewish people are in. But these Jewish brethren did not believe in Jesus. And they became irate. And scripture tells us that Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed up into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at God's right hand, at the right hand of God the Father. And as Stephen was being crushed by massive stones, he was peaceful, we're told, in Acts 7:59 to 60. And Stephen called on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice. I mean, here he's being crushed with stones. He cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And that word asleep in the lexicon for the Greek means to be quieted, to be calm, to be at peace. So last week I asked if Stephen, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, because he surrendered to the Holy Spirit, if he might have been given by the Holy Spirit a special readiness for battle, and along with a deep-seated peace as he was being stoned, while he was expressing compassion for the people who were putting an end to his life, and asking God to not charge them for their sin. So it just makes me wonder that those filled with the Holy Spirit, and God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, to live in the Spirit, okay, and to walk with the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. But it makes me wonder, at certain moments during crises in our lives, desperation, even depression or loneliness, are we enabled to see things, to witness things that no one else can see? And I'm thinking of Stephen gazing into heaven and seeing the glory of God and Jesus standing. But it makes me wonder, okay? And maybe we see it more, or those who go to third world countries see it more in the desperation that they daily live with, so many live with, okay? Because sometimes you come home and you say, 3,000 came to know the Lord. I mean, I've heard things like this, and I know Jewish Voice goes to different places in the world, to Jewish people. 1,000 came to know Jesus, and I'm thinking, okay. I had mentioned to a gentleman who asked me how many, and this was going back about, everything now is 10 or 15 years ago, so forgive me for repeating that, but it seems like 10 or 15 years ago I was talking to a group of men who kept running into Jewish people and wanted to know how to share Jesus with them. This was on the campus here at Scottsdale Bible. And this man said, "Well, how many have you seen come to know the Lord?" And I said, "About 40 or 50, and he started laughing. And he said, "That's all?" I said, "Well, how much is one soul worth?" You know? But anyway, it makes me wonder about if we, being filled with the Holy Spirit, see things at times that others don't see. And that's not a competition comment either, like a one-upism. If there's anything I hate, it's like a one-upism, okay? But why are we given the Spirit? We talked about this last week. He's the one who comes alongside us. He's another comforter like Jesus. When Jesus was sharing with the disciples at the Last Supper, he said, "I am giving you another one." And that other, that means in the Greek, another like me. Because the Spirit is God. The Spirit is given to comfort, to console, to intercede for us, to guide us into all truth, to speak to what he hears, to tell us things to come. Isn't that amazing? Just check out John 16, verse 13. To glorify Jesus, the Spirit of truth reveals Jesus to us. So many times we put, and myself included, we put the Holy Spirit on the side. No. Mm-mm. So today we're going to dig a little further in to the Spirit searches the deep things of God, which we haven't started as yet. This is part one, and we will continue with it in next week and with part two. But in Acts 18 speaks of Paul's second arrival in Corinth. And because of Corinth's sordid, this is not in your handout, but because of Corinth's sordid reputation, there was a new Greek word that was coined for the Corinthians. It was Corinthiazomai, which means to live immorally like a Corinthian. Whoa. So the church in Corinth was actually founded on Paul's second missionary journey. And what did Paul always do on his missionary journeys? First thing, what did he do?
Go to the synagogue.
Yeah, praise God. And because to the Jew first and also to the Greek in Romans 1:16. And he ministered in Corinth for more than a year and a half. And the people in Corinth loved human wisdom. And you can see it in the verses that we're going to dive into. And so because they loved human wisdom, was Paul placating them? Mm-mm. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He wasn't displaying his wisdom. He came as a witness declaring the testimony of God and speaking of the Holy Spirit's transforming power in his own life. And he was sharing the gospel. He had just come from Athens before this second trip to Corinth. Athens, the people who were priding themselves in human wisdom. Many pride themselves with human in because of human wisdom, or so they think. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a powerful statement that is. We could be living, you know, wherever in this world, and you know the different people that you're rubbing shoulders with, and I determine, somebody comes along and says, I don't want to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because Jesus Christ crucified was foolishness to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:18, I'm not sure if that's in your handout. I don't think it is. Paul said on his first journey, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Wow. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So,
I said big time. Big time amen.
Yeah, big time amen.
It's not foolishness to us. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, and it should be wower. It should be even more wow.
And it's so simple.
Yes, yes. So simple, but it costs God everything. What do you think? 1 Corinthians 2:3, Paul reminded the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. So Paul knew that this is when the Spirit of God intercedes. He's talking about his first visit to the Corinthians. And when we are weak, he knows that the Holy Spirit intercedes when he was weak, in fear, and much trembling. And when we are weak and truly wondering, am I ever going to make it, moving forward to the task in this task that God has for me? Have you been in that place ever? I think we all have. And have you witnessed the Holy Spirit move more so in your life and carry you through according to where he's placed you at this point? And during those times, though, have we felt like we were going to collapse? Or that we know that we're not coming across powerfully in and of ourselves. And there are times when we do collapse, and the Holy Spirit knows this, and he is carrying us at those times. We don't have impressive words. We don't come across eloquently, but God. That's what we need to think. But God. When we are in those but God moments, totally apart from ourselves, not taking any claim for anything that's going on that seems to, that is powerful. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, below the middle of the page, on page 1, he said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration." And that word demonstration in the Greek means proving. You're in the proving mode, that demonstration. Not in human witness. He wasn't, wisdom rather, he wasn't demonstrating that. But he was making manifest the Spirit of God and of power. Verse 5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the power of the Holy Spirit ignited Paul and his message of life to the people. I like that word, ignited. It ignited Paul. So proving that Paul was speaking in the Holy Spirit's power, he continued in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which can only be known through God's revelation. Truths of God which had been hidden in the past. All right, when you see that word mystery, like the church is a mystery. I was reading an article about some of evangelicals believe that the church is in the Old Testament. No, then Paul wouldn't have written in Ephesians 3 that the church was a mystery. And that word mystery means it was hidden. It was not brought out in New Test, in the Old Testament. If I said New Testament, you know what I'm saying. Okay. When God ordained this beforehand, of course, about the church, but it was hidden wisdom at that time. And Paul says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 2, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they, had they known that, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Those were Paul's words. And then Paul starts to speak of the Spirit-searching ministry. I love that, that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And if Jesus told the disciples, and he did, that the Spirit will teach you what he hears from me. These are the deep things of God. And we can say, yeah, we want to know those deep truths of God. And we believe, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking of these things that Jesus taught. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So God's wisdom is not discovered from human sources. God's wisdom is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God knows the things of God. And he resides, the Spirit resides within believers, not to be dormant or passive, but to be actively engaged in revealing God's hidden wisdom. Isn't that great? Isn't that exciting? Yeah. In Romans 11:33, says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are, can't come by a human wisdom. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Bobby, were you going to say something? Okay. That was easy. So it appears that the Spirit of God searches the depths of the wisdom of God to lift out truths from Scripture that we, and I'm going to say this, that we need to know and to understand and to reveal. He reveals them to us, we who are believers, who are Jesus followers. Any comments, thoughts, problems, issues? No.
Keep going.
Keep, because I gotta scoop. Okay. I'm on a roll. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, because who's the ruler of this world?
Satan.
John 12:31. Satan, yes. but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, the things in Scripture. You know, I love Deuteronomy 29:29, and many quote it, and I have been known to quote it this way: the secret things belong to God. And then I stop. Not anymore. When I have then really been focused on that second part, it says the secret things belong to God. The things that he has revealed belong to us. Belong to us. So we, as we were talking about last week, we have all of God, that he, who he is. He is saying, I want all of you. I want all of you, believer.
God has decided that 3 inches of text should be okay for billions of people over 2,000 years to know about him.
Yeah.
That blows me away.
Because, and when you said that, I could just think of it, because the canon is closed. It's closed. We don't have new revelation. You might hear people say, oh, there are new apostles now. No, they're not new apostles. There's not new revelation. The canon is closed. Yeah. And 3 inches thick is, well, depending on your Bible. But so, and I mean, you know, how many study notes there are in the Bible, et cetera, that are not inspired. The study notes aren't inspired. But the things that are recorded in Scripture, those things which are revealed, belong to us. The Spirit of God is fully equipped to reveal God's wisdom, having searched the deep things of God, and he illuminates God's word. I have noted Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 20, but I didn't write it out. And I'll read it if you want to find it in your scripture. It's powerful. Ephesians 1, 17 to 20. If I said 19, I hear myself saying different things. Whoa, that's kind of weird. But Ephesians 1, 17 to 20, it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And this was Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the power working in us, God's power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's living in us, all right? And seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So regarding our experience as we walk with the Spirit, as we live in the Spirit, have you ever been in a situation where there's, and maybe we won't discuss it right now, but maybe next week we'll go more into it. But think about this, because I think I'm going to have to end in a couple of minutes. But have you ever been in a situation where there seems to be no way of escape, and has the Holy Spirit made that way for you? Okay, like we'll talk about that more next week, because we're going to talk about Holy Spirit promptings in our lives, right? So, in fact, let me just go to the end of my notes, which might be the end of your page, of your handout. And, no, it's probably not. Let's just say there have been, with Paul, we know of Holy Spirit promptings. And I'm going to give you an example. And actually, the example was mentioned last week, when Paul was making his way to, it's in Acts, in the book of Acts. It's Acts, it's on page 2, Acts 20, 22 to 23. Paul told the leaders in Ephesus, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. That's huge. That's huge. It appears that because of the confidence Paul is actually expressing in these words, as he's bound by the Holy Spirit, he knows that that this is his destination. He's not under bondage in terms of being tied up in knots. and having an emotional meltdown. Paul was surrounded and encompassed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. How comforting is that? And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to comfort us, to console us, and to communicate where he wants to place us. And those places aren't always pleasant, are they? It's not always comfortable. And at times he leads us into difficult places. But as I always think of Erica having such a passion for the work that and the people, you know, to whom God has sent her, that's from God. And then it's an honor. I know she looks at it as an honor to be working and serving in Turkey. So, promptings. Would this be a prompting of the Holy Spirit? And I'm asking you that. This is not to be answered at this time, but answer it. Come, you know, think about it. Read through the end of the handout, and we'll continue next week. And I want to share how God, I want to hear some of you share how God has, has the Holy Spirit has been prompting you in certain ways. And that could be such an encouragement for all of us as we gather. So deep things, just keeping the thinking of the deep things of God. That's almost beyond, it is beyond what I can totally comprehend. So Lord, pray that you would minister to us the rest of this day into this week and on regarding your ministry, Holy Spirit, and the passive the power that you have, Holy Spirit, that you are all powerful because you are God, and that you live within us. God, what does that, how does that work out in our lives? I think that we'll be asking that question until we see you face to face, Lord. We think of your presence, Holy Spirit, and your power, and we thank you for both. And Lord, as Maggie and Lori share now, pray, God, for their time with us, and Lord, for their ministry that you have called them to, and specifically this time of VBS in Rwanda. And we pray, God, that you would be seen in their lives so magnificently, so powerfully, that the not only the children but also the adults in the villages there would be overwhelmed by you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.